This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Always forever we begin with the praise of Allah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love and our greetings and our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and his pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to be amongst them. Ameen wa alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we live in a world where there are big guys and small guys. There's the strong and there's the weak. And the world is unjust. And there are those who suffer, those who are oppressed, those who are discriminated against, where power is exercised against them. It might be in your family, it might be at work, it might be at school, where someone is bullying and picking on somebody else. And in times like that, when the small guy, when the weak doesn't have a voice, it is up to the real heroes. It's up to someone special, someone courageous to speak up. And to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. To put your own self on the line by speaking the truth, even though the truth is inconvenient. Alhamdulillah, this week, I've never been prouder to be a South African than what is happening now. And for those of you, you should know that there is a court case happening where South Africa has brought Israel to the International Court of Justice, accusing it of committing genocide against the people of Palestine. This is the first time in the history of the establishment of Israel that it was brought to court as a defendant. First time. And this is the second time in history that one country took another country to court on the count of genocide. Of all the Muslim countries in the world, of all the leaders, it was our country that stood up, our legal team that took Israel and said, what's happening to the Palestinians, what's happening in Gaza is a crime against humanity. It is a genocide. It's not a war. Now, let me get back to the topic of what's happening currently and the politics of today. And this reminds me of the story of Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu, where a similar kind of court case happened. And this isn't just a court case between one man in a courtroom, because what happens in that courtroom is going to determine the outcome, the lives of many, many other people. So quickly, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of course, as we know, preached and called the people to Islam. The people of Makkah rejected Islam and began to abuse, torture and kill the Muslims. They were committing a genocide against the Muslims. What happened to Bilal radiallahu anhu? What happened to Sayyidina Sumayya radiallahu anha? Eventually the situation became so difficult for the Muslims that they decided to leave everything, leave their homes, leave their property, and they immigrated. They left Mecca. Before they went to Medina, they left Mecca and they came to Africa. They came to Abyssinia, today Ethiopia. It's a Christian country. And the ruler of Abyssinia, his title was Najashi. He was a Christian man, a very, very pious Christian man. But he was known for being a man of justice, a man that was fair, a man that lived by the rules. Even he was a Christian. And so the Nabi Sallam sent a small group of the Sahaba, you go there and you live there, away from the oppression. And if we don't survive here, at least Islam will continue in Abyssinia. Now the Quraysh, and like the Israelis, like any other dictator and tyrant, they are not satisfied that you are gone, out of their hair, out of sight. They actually want to continue to persecute you. So even though the Muslims had left Mecca and they had gone to Abyssinia, the Quraysh sent two ambassadors to the king of Abyssinia, to Najashi, and they made a petition. And they said to the king of Abyssinia, O king, there is a group of people from our country that have come to your country and they are living here in asylum. They are refugees. Send them back to us. They are troublemakers. They are evil. They are murderers. They cause so much problem in our community. They cause so much split between families. They insulted our ancestors. They insulted our religion. They're going to cause mischief in your land. Send them back to us and we will deal with them. Now the king of Abyssinia These are the king of Abyssinia. He knew the Quraysh. He had dealings with them. These were ambassadors. These were big guys, one government to the next. Whereas the Muslims were refugees. Ja'far and the Sahaba that were in Abyssinia, they didn't have money, they didn't have power. But being a man of justice, he said, I would like to hear from these people. What is their story? Why have they left their homes and why have they come here? And are they so bad like they were, being accused of? And so the king of Abyssinia, Najashi, he sent a message to the Muslims in his community. He says, select a leader and I want to speak to your leader. Now this is a big thing, subhanAllah. Imagine you put yourself in the situation. No one prepares for this. These aren't lawyers. These are normal people. And they appointed Ja'far radiallahu anhu, the cousin of the Nabi Sallam, the man who grew up with the Nabi Sallam. They were like brothers. They grew up. And Ja'far was the leader amongst the Muslims in Abyssinia. And so Ja'far now stands before one of the greatest kings in the world. And he is asked by the Abyssinian king, explain yourselves. Why should I not send you and your people back to Mecca? I know the Meccans. We have good relations. Why should I not send you and your people back? And now Ja'far has to give a speech. And it's something for all of us to understand. This is an important speech. This is perhaps the first speech in Islam before a foreign leader. And it's also a wonderful speech for anybody who, if you're speaking to a non-Muslim, and you want to ask, what is your religion all about? I see suicide bombings, I see this and that, and women, and Islam is very confusing. Ja'far's speech is a wonderful speech as to what our religion is about. And now he's given an opportunity, number one, to defend himself and his people, to reject the Quraysh. Remember, the Quraysh are accusing them. The accusation is against Ja'far. And he's also giving da'wah to Najashi. And so he says, O king, we were a people in a state of jahiliyyah and ignorance and immorality. We worshipped idols and stones, and we ate anything, dead flesh, rotten carrion. And we committed all kinds of abomination and sinful deeds, shameful deeds. We broke the ties of kinship. We didn't care about families. And we treated our guests badly and our neighbors badly. And the strong amongst us ruled and exploited the weak. That was how we lived. That's what's happening in Mecca. And we remained in this state for hundreds of years. We lived like this until Allah sent us a Nabi. One of our own people whose lineage, this man, we knew who this man was. And we knew his trustworthiness and his truthfulness. Everybody knows him. And we knew his integrity. Everybody respected this man. He's all well known to us. Everybody here knows him. And this man, Allah sent this Nabi, he called us to La ilaha illallah, to worship one God alone, and to renounce the stones and idols that our ancestors used to worship besides Allah. Our religion, now he tells the king, our religion commands us to always speak the truth. We can't lie. And we must honor our promises. And we must be kind to our relatives. We must be helpful to our neighbors. And we must stop all evil deeds and obscenities. To abstain from, we should not kill one another and fight with one another. We must avoid false testimony and speaking lies. We should not take property that doesn't belong to ourselves and take the property of the orphans. And we should not harm women and accuse chaste women of immorality. He ordered us to worship Allah alone and not to commit shirk. And to make salah, our religion, we have to pray. And we have to give charity to the poor. And we have to fast. That's what our religion is about. And so we, this group, this tiny group of refugees, we believed in this man and his message. And he brought us, and we believed in him and what he brought to us from Allah. And we followed him and what he asked us to do. And we kept away from the things which he forbid us from doing. Therefore, O king, our people, because of this, because we worship one God, we turn away from idols, we don't fight, we don't kill, we don't steal, we don't lie, we pray, we give zakah. Because of this, this is our crime. Because of that, our people then began to attack us. And they began to visit the most severe punishments upon us. And they wanted to force us to renounce Islam, our religion, and take us back to the old immoral ways of worshipping idols. They oppressed us. And they made us live an intolerable life and obstructed us from our religion. So eventually this became so unbearable, O king, we were forced to leave our own country, our home. And we chose, and look, this is, subhanAllah, this is like politics, like this is like genius. He says, so we choosing of all the lands in the world, we chose your land, we chose you. Desiring your protection and hoping to live in a land of justice and in peace. That's why we came here. The king of Abyssinia was so moved. He was so impressed by the speech that he said to Ja'far, you and your people are welcome to stay in my land. And he told Amr bin al-As, the ambassador, I have no grounds to send these people back to you. Politely, he says, I decline your request. Now the story continues a little bit more. As the ambassadors of the Quraysh were defeated, they were humiliated, they lost the court case to Ja'far, the ambassador Amr bin al-As said, I want to see the king again. I want to ask a second petition. So what do you want to ask? So he says to his co-ambassador, he said, I'm going to tell the king, ask Najashi, ask the king of Abyssinia, because he's a Christian man, tell him to ask Ja'far, what do they say about Jesus Christ? So now, he wants to put the Muslims in a bad light. Let the Muslims explain to Najashi our view and our belief of Nabi Isa. Now even the Qurayshi delegation, even those who came from Makkah to bring the Muslims back, they said, no, don't do this. Because if you do that, it might upset Najashi so much that he'll become so angry he might even kill them. At the end of the day, these are our family members. We want to abuse them, but we don't want someone else to kill them. But Amr said, I don't care. I'm a man of politics. And so Amr goes to Najashi and he says, before you let these people stay in your land, ask them, what do they say about Isa, Jesus? So Najashi called Ja'far again and he said, does your religion speak about Nabi Isa, Jesus? What do you say now? Again, how many of us are put in a very awkward position? You can't lie. You can't bend the truth. You can't even... It's an awkward question. You don't want to ask this question is now before the king. You can't say, king, your religion out is the same. You say three, we say... It's the same. No, we have to say that there's a difference. But we also have to give it in a way that is not going to offend the man. So, they asked... So Najashi asked Amr, Ja'far radiallahu anhu, what do you say about Nabi Isa? And look at his earlier response was very detailed. He went into all the details and explained. This response is very basic, very minimal. He says, O king, these people, he says, what do you say about Jesus, the son of Mary? And so Ja'far says, O king, as regards to Nabi Isa, we only say what has been revealed to us. That he is a prophet, and that he is the servant of the Creator, and that he is the spirit, a special kind of ruh that Allah gave into a virgin woman, Mary, and gave life to him, that he is the Messiah, and that we believe in him. And nothing Ja'far said was wrong. He didn't speak about the Trinity. He didn't say we reject that he's the son of God. He just said he's a prophet and a servant of Allah and mentioning the great qualities of Nabi Isa. And when Najashi heard this and the way that Sayyidina Ja'far praised Maryam alayhi salam, it mentions that he started to cry. And he says, by Allah or by God, Jesus is the son of Mary. I agree. Like you say, we all agree that he's the son of Mary and that he speaks on behalf from the Almighty. And Ja'far was once again... He had succeeded and Najashi was even more impressed. Eventually Najashi even becomes a Muslim. At times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts people in these situations. You can't plan for it or prepare. Ja'far never imagined he would have to speak on behalf of not just himself and the Muslim community, but for all Muslims in the world. That he would stand before a king, a leader, a global stage, and he will have to speak on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, as we said today, it gives us great pride that our country is doing this. Not a Muslim country. Besides maybe one of those judges, I think, the majority, everyone there are non-Muslims. But they're standing and speaking to what is truthful and what is right. It's not political, it's not religious, it's about human rights. And we are giving a voice to a people who are unable to speak for themselves. The only way people are actually noticing what's happening in Gaza is they have to show pictures of their own children in body parts. For the last 70 years, this was happening. This wasn't happening only now. It's been going on for over 70 years. But the world didn't ignore them until you had to show pictures of your own children in pieces for the world to wake up. And it's sad that over 50 Muslim countries didn't have the guts, didn't have the acumen to take this initiative. It was our country that did it. And only afterwards, once we put the petition forward. It's not just easy to take someone to court. You have to compile documents, an 80-page document within a few days. You have to have clear arguments. That these are the top judges in the world. They're not going to listen to any Tom, Dick, and Harry. A world-class team from our country came together and put this case forward. And you know, like they say, you know, all of you have been part of projects where you have one person doing all the work, and when you hand in, then everyone adds their name to it. After South Africa put the petition in, then you saw all the countries jumping to add their name to the project. So alhamdulillah, we praise Allah that this is what our country stands for and that what we stand for. And we should be the first of all people that we speak the truth. Allah says to us, let there always be, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً. Let there always be a group of people. Yeah, it even means a small group of people. When the world is upside down, there must at least always be a group of people. يَدْعُونَ الْخَيْرِ. You're always standing for what is right, calling towards what is right. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ. You call out to what is good and you forbid what is wrong. You should be that ummah, Allah is saying. You should be that people. That when something is wrong in your family or wrong in your country, in your government, in your business, at school, someone is picking on somebody else, you are that person that stands up for what is right, call for what is good, and turn away from what is evil. And Allah says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. If you are of that group, if you are on that group that you stand up for what is right, you will be successful. It won't be easy. You're going to get repercussions. Do we think that South Africa is going to get away from the scot-free? We know there's going to be repercussions. We know there are deals that are going to be cancelled. We know that there are going to be invitations that we're going to be excluded from now. When you speak up against the bully, it's not going to be, there's going to be repercussions. But Allah says, you will be successful in the long run. Allah says, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. Oh, you who believe, stand up firmly for what is just and be a witness for Allah. Be a witness for Allah. Even if it is against yourself, even if you're going to get hurt, or your parents, or your close family members, whether rich or poor, then Allah says, إِن يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا. Whether you're rich or poor, فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. Allah is the best to ensure your interests. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Allah is with you. When you stand up for what is right, Allah is going to be with you. Allah is going to support you. So do not let your desires cause you to deviate from justice. Never turn away from justice. And if you were to turn away, if you distort the testimony, or you refuse to give it, Allah says, and if you are a people that are too afraid to tell the truth, you either keep quiet or even worse, you say things which are wrong, then know that Allah is certainly aware of what you do. Then Allah is a testimony against you, subhanAllah. This again is not only about politics. This is in every single aspect of our life. How many of us were put in a position where we had to answer an awkward question? But you have to speak the truth. You have to speak up, especially when it's the rights of somebody else being harmed. The Nabi Muslim says a hadith which you all know by heart so many times, and now you see it. Whoever of you sees evil, let him change it with his hand. Wallahi, when one country commits crimes against another and genocide, what should happen in a world where things are right and people are moral? We stand together and we stop that person. If you, for example, imagine this, you're walking down the road and you see an adult punching a small child. What would you do? You and a group of friends are walking down the road. What would you do? You immediately grab the guy and pull him away. This is not an adult punching a small child. It's an adult shooting, bombing, burning children. The world watches. And no one has the courage, the guts, or the morals to stand up and do something physically. Okay, if you can't do that, the Nabi says, if you can't do that, at least speak out. Where's the rest of the world? Statements that don't mean anything. Statements that are empty. At least the people sharing their posts, putting up flags, subhanAllah, painting their walls, and then the government coming and repainting it, subhanAllah. If you want your house painted for free, then put a Palestinian flag up and you see the government painting it for free. You can have all kinds of swear words, your master this, but they won't paint that. They won't overpaint that, but they'll paint the Palestinian flag. Something for us to think about. If you can't stand up and physically stop the evil, speak out against it. And alhamdulillah, all the countries in the world, our country is doing it now. Right now, our country is doing it. May Allah grant them tawfiq and success. And if you can't even speak out, if we're so weak, if we're so, you know, deficient, we can't fight, we can't stop, we can't speak, we can't give money, at least we should feel bad. Feel bad for ourselves first. and feel bad for those who are oppressed. And as the Nabi says, at least there's still some iman, but it's small iman. The Nabi says, speaking the truth, speak the truth in everything that you do, even if it's bitter, even if it's difficult to do, speak it. That is what it means to be a Muslim. Verily, another scary hadith, the Nabi says, is a promise. If the people see an oppressor and they don't seize his hand, they don't stop him, they see a tyrant, they see someone stealing someone's money, they see someone bombing another country, they see someone doing evil, and they don't stop him, the spectators, those of us who are watching, Allah will bring his punishment upon them. Allah, not only that, the tyrant will get his time, definitely, but for those of us that see people being abused and harmed and their rights are being taken, and we don't do anything about it, then we should be fearful that Allah's retribution is upon us. There's no such thing in Islam as an innocent bystander. You can't just sit and take a video and leave it at that. You need to do something. We need to do something. The Nabi was about to get on a horse, and perhaps he was in the middle of jihad, and a sahabi asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is the greatest jihad of all? What is the greatest jihad a man can fight? And what did he say? The toughest and best and the jihad that gives you the most reward is to speak the truth to a tyrant. To come before a man that is a tyrant, that's evil, that you're scared of, and you speak the truth. What we're seeing, alhamdulillah, non-Muslims, they are fighting the greatest jihad at the moment. Speaking a truth, not just to Israel, but to those who support them, the tyrants of the world. They're speaking the truth, even though it might be against themselves. And yes, there will be repercussions, and it might be hard. In your business, if you see someone being exploited, being picked on by your boss, and you say something, you might get in the firing line. If you say something when that bully is picking on someone in school, insulting someone, bullying them on social media, and you say, no, stop this now, this is not okay, there will be repercussions for you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, alaykum anfusakum, O you who believe, take care of yourselves. La yadurrukum man dalla, that you will never be harmed. Ultimately, Allah says, you will never be harmed if you are on the righteous path, if you guide, call to what is good. Allah says, you will never ever be lost. You will never be harmed. You will never be defeated if you are on the side of what is right, if you are on the side of justice. And Allah says, ultimately, whatever, at the end of the day, subhanAllah, look at this, at the end of the day, Allah says, whatever is said and done, remember there is a real court case that's going to happen on the day of Qiyamah. All of this, ultimately, everybody must stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ultimate courtroom. And then Allah says, I will tell you about what you did. I will inform you of what you said, what you didn't say, what how you acted and how you did not act. That is when everyone must then stand and look at your deeds and think, what did I do? And subhanAllah, you might lose out. Again, think about, we as a country, we might have some repercussions. And those lawyers that are, you know, representing us and speaking on behalf of the palace, whatever repercussions happen, just the fact that you spoke, whether you win or lose is not the point. You will always remember in your heart, in your life, I stood up when no one else had the guts and the courage to stand up. We stood up. And if we win, subhanAllah, some might say, well, what happens if we win this court case? Nothing is going to, I mean, Israel has never, there's no power in stopping them. There's no army that's going to stop them. But as we see, this is the first time that they've been brought to court. And this will be shown that they are committing a crime against humanity. Their lies will be rebuffed on a global scale. It will destroy their political narrative. And everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows the reality. But this will be official. It will be in black and white. You have committed a genocide. And so, in any capacity that you have, whenever you have the chance to speak up for what is right and true, whenever you have the chance to defend the honor of somebody, don't say it's got nothing to do with me. Tomorrow it might be your turn, and you hope, where's someone to speak up for my rights and my well-being? Speak up. It'll count more on the day you die, and you think about your life, you will always remember, I stood up for what was right, I did not break, I was scared, but I had the courage to do what is right. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet says, and I end up with this hadith, O Muslims, always be truthful, always stand up for the truth, always speak the truth. Verily, truthful leads you to being a righteous person. In whatever you do, be honest. No matter how inconvenient, be truthful. And if you keep doing that, you'll become a salih person. You'll become a good person. And if you're a good person, a righteous person, you will enter Jannah. Honesty leads to Jannah. Truthfulness leads to Jannah. And the Nabi says, a man continues to be truthful and encourages honesty until he is recorded by Allah that this man was a true soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accounts him as a true soul. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us to be truthful to Allah, to speak up for the truth, to have the courage to stand for what is right, to always be on the side of right. No matter how weak we are, no matter how poor we are, we will never ever bend to an oppressor. We will live and die for la ilaha illallah and justice. May Allah grant ease for the people of Palestine, for all the oppressed people of the world. And we ask that Allah grants us, our government, tawfiq and success on the international stage. May we win this court case for all of humanity and the people of Palestine. And may Allah grant us to be a country that Allah is pleased with. May this deed bring about Allah's happiness on us as a people and grant goodness for our country and our citizens. Ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala sahbihi wa sallam al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.